the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you.
Yes, it is.
Yes, definitely. Oh, my goodness. Wednesday morning. Okay. Good show today. I want to start off with something, you guys. Okay. Obviously, we heard the news yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I thought of this morning were the families who were waking up this morning who didn't get any sleep last night in Uvalde, Texas, who were in our country today. You know, pray for those families who were affected with the school shooting. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, you guys, when I see 10-year-old teacher, I don't know, as a mother, as a parent, you stop and think. So, Johnny, you know, I want to head straight into prayer after that, because that's one of the first things I thought of this morning. It's just really on my mind. So I wanted to throw that out there before you started.
Mm-hmm. No, the Prince of Peace is needed in this world more than ever, isn't it?
Yes.
In fact, so let's call upon a teacher, actually a very powerful teacher we're remembering today. He spent his life writing and reading and teaching, and we're talking about the Venerable Bede, St. Bede. And this is a prayer that he wrote, so we do pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Christ, our morning star, splendor of light eternal, shining with the glory of the rainbow, come and waken us from the grayness of our apathy. Renew in us your gift of hope. May all those who seek you through reading, writing, and teaching come to know and love you, as St. Bede the Venerable, who we remember this day. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we'll learn more about St. Bede the Venerable later on in today's show, but looking forward to Johnny's gospel reflection. That'll be in just a few moments. We're joined by Peter Finney. He is the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, and he's going to give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and they have a lot of stuff going on, so stay tuned for that. Father Paul Yee joins us in our Baton Rouge studio. He's pastor over at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, and today he's going to talk about his dedication and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary as we prepare for the feast day of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in a few days. So I always love talking to Father Yee. I'm glad we had him on or have him on. He's very busy. So he'll be joining us in our studio. David Aguilar will also be in studio, executive director with Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Alicia, he'll give us their monthly update, and they have a lot of stuff, like I said, going on, It'll be great to have David join us
You're right. It will be great, and he'll be live and in person here in our Baton Rouge studio, and hopefully he gets here before our bad weather gets here. There's isolated, strong to severe thunderstorms are possible today from late morning through the afternoon, and additional strong storms overnight into Thursday morning. So strong damaging wind gusts are the highest threat, but the National Weather Service warns us that brief tornadoes cannot be ruled out. So heavy rain will be an effect. So again, that's a flood watch effect in effect through tomorrow morning, Thursday. Flash flooding caused by excessive rainfall is possible, and that's portions of southeast Louisiana and Mississippi through tomorrow, Thursday morning. So there will be excess runoff that may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying areas. So be weather aware. The National Weather Service would like for you to monitor that so you can be safe. It is 76 degrees in Baton Rouge, 79 in New Orleans, 76 in, or 80 in Luling. So it's 5 after the hour on Wake Up.
A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
There is a wonderful sense in which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, breaks open our hearts with his penetrating love when he convicts us of the truth in our own lives. He does so by showing us the consequences of our personal sins, the terrible injustices we have inflicted on the heart of Jesus, and the harm we have committed against others. This is how our sins have harmed them. Then we can say with the remorseful David, my sin is always before my face. It was the Holy Spirit's love that mercifully touched Peter's heart after he denied Jesus. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. It is the Holy Spirit's love that mercifully penetrates our hearts when we recognize that we too have denied and betrayed our Lord. In this way, truth triumphs in us, and we can become witnesses of truth by our changed lives. When he was alone in Athens, St. Paul preached a sermon about the unknown God in an environment surrounded by pagan idols. Today, that sermon might be applied to the person of the Holy Spirit, the divine person of love, because we so often neglect him. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. It is also his indwelling presence that transforms us into God's temple. And thus St. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Then the apostle added, if anyone destroys God's temple, of course by sin, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The mystery of God's indwelling presence within us has the power of transforming our lives when we begin to focus on the dynamic interior presence of this divine person of love. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Come, Holy Spirit, right, guys? Come,
yes.
Come,
mm-hmm.
Proclaim the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is hard to overemphasize just how important the gospel is today with this question. How do we know what is true? And not just whether something is true, but what is the essence of all truth. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Because once you know that, then you can apply that to everything regarding our salvation, and even what's going on in our world. And you know, today what Jesus does is he says that this is going to look a lot like the relationship within the Blessed Trinity. And of course, we know that. You say we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And even though there's different missions of the three persons of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is being sent by the Father and the Son to proclaim the truth, wherever one is, the other is. You don't have them separate. And there's not a really great analogy for this. They all kind of break down, but you can kind of think of a three-legged stool. Some people have used that before. You know, three in one. Without one stool, it's no longer a stool.
Right.
But this, this then, Jesus proclaims how we're going to know the truth. And with that image in mind, since the church's beginnings, since Pentecost, it's said that the truth is like that way. There's one truth found in one deposit of faith entrusted to the one church, and that is these three things: sacred script, sacred tradition, sacred scripture, and the magisterium, or the teaching authority of the church. Mm-hmm. All three have to be present to be authoritative and to have the fullness of the truth. And so the way that works simply, as you know, is that out of the sacred tradition, the experience of the apostles who were with him, who heard him, who received the fullness of the truth, and were given the authority, came the sacred scripture. And that continues up to this day. Here's how Vatican II put it in De Verbum, paragraph 10. Quote, in the supremely wise arrangement of God, sacred tradition, sacred scripture, and the magisterium of the church are so connected and associated that one of them cannot stand without the others. Working together, each in its own way, under the action of the one Holy Spirit, they all contribute effectively to the salvation of souls. Unquote. And so you can say, well, that sounds theological, but how does that work practically? And here's the example. We see this being played out right now, and to bring this up, between San Francisco's Archbishop Salvatore Corleone and Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. And we read in this story where the Archbishop, despite every effort to counsel her, she's had to deny her communion because of her outspoken and very growing public and powerful advocacy of abortion, while at the same time telling people she's a devout Catholic, which is scandal. It's the very definition of scandal, and it's endangering her soul and other souls. So let's call on the three legs here. The Archbishop, as successor to the apostles, vowed to protect that deposit of faith as coming from sacred tradition. And when we look at sacred tradition, we can even read this in the Didache. The title is The Teaching of the Twelve Apostles Used to Evangelize People. This is in the first century while the apostles, Peter himself, is probably still alive, in which abortion is specifically prohibited. Mm-hmm. And then you go next to sacred scripture. Thou shalt not kill. In your mother's womb I knew you. Let the children come to me. John leapt in the womb at Jesus. All that. Mm-hmm. That there's sacred scripture, very clear. And then we talk about the magisterium of the church. Well, this has always been taught as an intrinsically always evil action. So here the bishop's coming from all truth, where she comes from her truth, her personal opinion. So she's not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit defiantly inserting herself as one of the apostles. So to wrap it up, you know, it is in the Catholic Church and only in the Catholic Church that brings us the fullness of the truth to Christianity. Oral written deposit of faith, the guidance of the Holy Spirit given to the successors of the apostles to interpret and apply it in our faith. And my brother put it this way, that's what you call a full gospel church. All right, well, stay with us. It is quarter past the hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the saint of the day, the Venerable Bede, and Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald is going to join us. Stay with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 25th. Today we celebrate Saint Bede the Venerable. Bede is one of the few saints honored as such, even during his lifetime. His writings were filled with such faith and learning that even while he was still alive, a church council ordered them to be read publicly in the churches. Born in England around 672, he showed his scholarly skills from an early age. He became well-versed in philosophy, astronomy, arithmetic, grammar, church history, the lives of the saints, and especially Holy Scripture. From the time of his ordination to the priesthood at 30 until his death, he was occupied with learning, writing, and teaching. In addition to the many books that he copied, he wrote 45 of his own, 30 of them devoted to commentary on the Bible. Although eagerly sought by popes, kings, and other people of power, Bede managed to remain in his own monastery till his death. Only once did he leave for a few months in order to teach in the school of the Archbishop of York. Bede died in 735, reciting his favorite prayer, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as in the beginning, so now, and forever." There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Abair. Our next guest is Peter Finney. He's the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, and today he's going to give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue of the Clarion Herald in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Hey, Peter, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gabby. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's so good to have you with us today. And we're going to talk about ordinations because that is just around the corner. So tell us how this issue of the Clarion Herald will be featuring those being ordained.
That's right. Well, the end of May and into June is really the season of ordinations. Just last Saturday, we had five men who were ordained to the transitional diaconate. Four of them will serve in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And the transitional diaconate is the final step before ordination to the priesthood, which should take place next summer. So it was a beautiful liturgy at St. Louis Cathedral. And coming up, there will be six men who will be new priests in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and that will be on June the 4th, another Saturday liturgy at 10 o'clock. And if anybody's interested in actually, you know, it's such a beautiful liturgy, and it is going to be live-streamed. It's going to be on WLAE-TV, and also it's going to be live-streamed on NOLACatholic.org. And it's a beautiful liturgy with so much symbolism and just meaning. You know, the laying on of hands, lying prostrate in front of the altar to give you, as a sign of giving your entire self to God and to Jesus and in His service. And then really kind of the finale of all the ordination season will be June 25th, another Saturday at the cathedral, where 17 men will be ordained as permanent deacons. Wow. And those are... those are men who are usually married men, and they are ordained to proclaim the gospel, to offer homilies, to do witness weddings, and also they can do funerals and baptisms. And these are the diaconate is such a strong component of what the Archdiocese of New Orleans is all about. So a lot of joy coming up and a lot of families. The cathedral is packed and just a lot of joy going on in this month coming up.
Peter, for those, because we always talk about if you've never been, you should go. So what time is it and how early do you think one should arrive at the cathedral? Because I know you have been plenty of times. For those who say, okay, I can go to this one.
Sure, it's 10 o'clock. Every ordination mass is on a Saturday at 10 o'clock. So the priesthood ordination will be June 4th at 10 a.m., and then the permanent diaconate will be on June 25th, also at 10 o'clock. And you know, if you get there a little bit early, that's fine. And but again, if you can't make it down to the cathedral, you can see it on TV on WLAE, or you can go live on live stream at NOLACatholic.org.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that. You also have a story on a retired criminal court judge named Calvin Johnson. Tell us about Calvin.
Well, it's an incredible story. He is a retired criminal court judge, Calvin Johnson. He was 16 years old growing up in Plaquemine, Louisiana, just southwest of Baton Rouge, across the river. And he was in Plymouth Rock Baptist Church in 1963, when the police broke in and the congregants there were talking about what they could do for civil rights and for voting rights for African Americans. The police were looking for the organizer of the Congress of Racial Equality because they felt he was an outside instigator. They came in horseback into the church. And then with cattle prods and kind of pushed the people out of the church and then took hoses and upset, broke windows in the church, upset the pews.
Oh my
anyway,
goodness.
Calvin Johnson was 16 years old. He escaped through a window and then the horses were coming up on him and he decided, hey, I've got this fence in front of me. It was a barbed wire fence. He scaled the fence. He still today bears the scar on his left arm from getting caught on the barb. About 3 weeks later, Calvin was a senior at Iberville High School, which was an all-black school. Louisiana had still not had desegregation of public schools. He led a student march in Plaquemine to the school board to rally for integration of the public schools. This is 9 years after the Brown versus Board of Education, and Louisiana still had not had desegregation. He was arrested along with 25 other of his classmates, and he was charged with inciting a riot. Okay, so he went on to law school, became this lawyer, became this judge, a wonderful career, wonderful family, but it always gnawed at him that this arrest he had as a teenager, and he said, in 2008, he wrote something. I just want an apology. And finally, he taught at Loyola Law School, and just last week, he received an apology from the state of Louisiana for his arrest for inciting a riot, and it was the dean of the law school, Madeline Landrieu, who kind of secured the apology from the state, from Governor John Bel Edwards, and it said, and Calvin Johnson said, it just brought him to tears to think that this kind of very tough chapter in his life had reached a conclusion where, you know, he could get this apology. It was an incredible story. And he's an incredible person, you know, what he went through and what he has done in his life.
My goodness. Absolutely. We'll definitely take a look at that story as well. You also have a section, your Elderly Outlook section. Tell us what we can find over there.
Yeah, it's a lot of stories about senior living, how to live healthy, exercise, things. But there's a really neat story. The Christophers in New York interviewed Harry Connick Jr. Last year, and it was kind of on the tail end of the pandemic. Now, Harry Connick Jr. is 54 years old, so he's not quite elder yet, but he talked about his father, Harry Connick Sr., passing on the Catholic faith to him, and also several priests in New Orleans who, when he was a teenager at Jesuit High School, he had just lost his mother, and he mentioned specifically Jesuit Father Anthony McGinn, who was the president at Jesuit High School, and how he was really so kind to him during this very tough episode. And then there was another priest in his life in New York when he went up to New York as an 18-year-old, maybe even 17-years-old, and was trying to further his music career. A priest allowed him, said, "Hey, I'll hire you to come play some masses for $25 a weekend." But he said, "I got the $25. That really bought a lot of ramen noodles, and it really helped me out."
Yeah.
The priest after mass would always take him across the street and buy him up and sit down with him for lunch with a hamburger, and he built this very fast friendship with this priest who actually he died during the pandemic, and Harry spoke at his funeral. So it's a testament everybody knows. And he has written, people may know this, Alone with My Faith is like a Christian classic album. And he has some beautiful songs, and so people who may not, have not heard it, go to the internet and look for it. Alone with My Faith, and it's like gospel tunes, and also got a little New Orleans twist to it. So it's a good little story on Harry Connick Jr.
Love it.
My goodness. Peter, we have about 2.5 minutes, which seems like a lifetime sometimes, but what is your favorite story? I know you don't like me asking that question, but I love hearing your personal opinion on this week's issue and which story we should really take a look at.
Well, you know, I think the Judge Calvin Johnson story is just an incredible personal story, but we had just last weekend the jubilarians for the archdiocese, women and men, religious and also priests, celebrated jubilees of their religious profession or ordination to the priesthood. And just Sister Sylvia Thibodeau gave a reflection after communion, in which she talked about really the our vocation. She's talking to her religious is that we are witnesses to God's love in the world, and no matter where we are sent, we don't know where we got. She didn't know, for example, Sister Sylvia said she served for 18 years in Africa and formed a religious congregation in Africa. She didn't know that God was going to send her there, but he did. And of course, everybody is, certainly mindful of the religious that we are missing in our midst right now, and that's, Sister Sue Ellen Tennyson. Mm-hmm. We're still praying for her. We have not heard one thing about, her whereabouts or whatever is going on with her in her captors. She was kidnapped in her mission in Africa. So we're still praying for her. And she just talked about, again, drawing people together in solidarity to offer prayers, for her and also for their own their own vocations.
My goodness, and thank you for bringing that in the forefront. We have to continue to pray. Peter, where can we pick up a copy of this week's issue of the Clarion Herald in the Archdiocese of New Orleans?
Sure, at every church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans at Mass this weekend, and also online right now, every page is up electronically at clarionherald.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us today. And definitely take a look at the men who will be ordained and the parts where the Clarion Herald will highlight each one of them. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Father Paul Yee joins us when we come back from the break. It's always a great time to talk to Peter Finney. Definitely check out these stories. ClarionHerald.org. I linked it in the comment section. For today's Facebook Live video, it is 1:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. 2021 saw the U.S. birth rate increase for the first time in 7 years. The cultural portrait behind the years of decline and this 1 year, while offering no clear causes, offers some interesting features. The declines since 2007 are blamed either on economic conditions or ideas about autonomy and marriage, incompatible with intimacy and childbearing. Besides declining abortion numbers, there is talk of some combination of a societal response to COVID and or a more profound reversal of what keeps couples infertile that is offering 2021 some silver lining. The Biden White House continues refusing to enforce laws and stop protests outside the homes of Supreme Court justices. The prohibitions seek to ensure courts, unlike legislative bodies, remain rooted in the examination of law, not popular opinion. This is Life News Radio. In other stories, Californians are compelling their legislators to change course on a bill that could decriminalize killing after birth. They say it remains a dangerous bill, however, for its expansion of abortion and denial of care to survivors of abortion. International agencies and media are promoting do-it-yourself abortions. With 64% of current abortions being coerced, the reasonably anticipated effect of these how-to explanations for a post-Roe world is to continue exposing women to coercion. And a long list of researchers and prominent physicians and surgeons are seeing the need to offer more details on the life of the human child in pregnancy. Dr. Ben Carson uses years of groundbreaking infant and fetal neurosurgery to offer that children before birth are very much alive. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
And it's 35 past the hour. Good to be with you on Wake Up on this Wednesday. Keep your umbrellas handy because grace is falling down constantly. Well, you don't want to keep that off of you, actually.
Let That's
that
right. Down.
Anyway, we are on approaching the end of May, and at May 31st, next Tuesday, we are going to be celebrating a very important feast. And today we're joined by Father Paul Yee. And Father Paul Yee is the pastor at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, and to talk about this important visit. Good morning, Father.
Well, good morning, everyone.
So nice
so good to have you here
person.
To talk about, in person, to talk about this just beautiful day that's coming up. So those who don't know what the Feast of the Visitation is all about, who's visiting who here? What are we celebrating?
Well, those of us who pray the Rosary, the Joyful Mystery, know that it's the second Joyful Mystery, the Visitation, when after Blessed Mother is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation, and she hears a little bit of news from Archangel Gabriel that her cousin, who is elderly, is pregnant. And so she goes in haste to see her cousin. Current day, you know, when you go to the Holy Land, and from Jerusalem, Ein Kerem, where the Church of Visitation is only about less than an hour, a little tram ride, a little bus ride to get there. But it is a little, literally a hill country. And when you get up there, you would imagine that, as you know, Blessed Mother would have taken the steps up to this little hill and to go visit her cousin. I was just watching this morning the a little clip from the Ignatius Press's movie. I think it was Mary, and the fascinating part about as I was watching this part was as she entered into the Zachariah and Elizabeth's home. She was greeted by Zachariah, who was mute at the time, you know, because temporarily mute, and then she sees her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, of course, is holding her womb because her child in her womb is now kicking, in a sense, dancing, and then Elizabeth goes into this praise him. And then, in turn, Blessed Mother responds with the Magnificat, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." And it's a great mystery. You know, at the end of the day, on our Vespers or the evening prayer, we always kind of right before we close with Our Father, we in our office, the Divine Office, we always close with the Magnificat, because I guess it's like all throughout the day you have experienced some sort of ups and downs of journey with God, and at the end of the day, that Magnificat of our Blessed Mother closes and wraps it and puts a little bow on all the experience we had. My soul proclaims the greatness, whether it's ups and downs.
In fact, that Saint Bede the Venerable wrote about that. In fact, to put it almost exactly in those same words, Father Paul, that's incredible.
Beautiful.
You know, Father Paul, the feast here, there's so much there than just two women meeting who those that they're carrying. I mean, we have echoes of Eden. We have echoes all the great heroines of the Old Testament, the women wrapped up there. We have the Ark of the Covenant being kind of parallel. There's a lot going on in this, but yet it's so touching and personal at the same time. Talk about that and your personal experience with it.
I think it was later on as I was in the seminary that I got to learn about the connection between in the book of Samuel about the Ark of the Covenant that David welcomes into his city, and the Blessed Mother as the new Ark of the Covenant, and that there's a phrase that both David says and the Blessed Mother says, "How does it happen to me that Ark of my Lord should come to me?" That's what David says, and then and Elizabeth in turn says, "How does it happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And it's for me, I use that as the my ordination phrase that I would put on ordination card. In 2008, Father Andrew Merrick, Father Jamin David, and I were ordained on May 31st on the Feast of Visitation. And it's something that, at the beginning of my, starting of my seminary of 2002, that I read a book by Bishop Fulton Sheen, The World's First Love, I think, about Mary. And in there, he writes about his personal experience and about how he asked Our Blessed Mother for, the certain dates to be in his life to be the feast day of Blessed Mother. And so I remember saying, it would be nice if I can get ordained on the feast day of the Blessed Mother. I was saying that and maybe even praying that at the early formation. And then, that year when Father Matt Lorraine, who was the vocation director at the time, announced to us that it was going to be on the Feast of the Visitation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was really overjoyed. Wow. That was very special.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. You bet. Well, we are talking with Father Paul Yee. He's the pastor at St. George Catholic Church. Father Paul, she continues to be relevant. She continues to enter our world. In fact, appearances over the centuries and so relevant. I mean, whether we're talking about the abortion issue with the life in her womb, whether we're talking about the violence going on in the world, Mary's not just a historical figure. She can Tell us how this offers an opportunity for her to help continue to transform the world through pointing to her son.
You know, there's a powerful image, and perhaps it's kind of well hidden among the missionaries of charity, that her Blessed Mother's apparition, or maybe vision, to the Mother Teresa is not too well talked about. But before Mother Teresa left the Laredo Sisters to enter into the Missionaries of Charity, she had a series of three visions, which catapulted her afterwards into going out into the slums to found a new order. And the vision begins with Jesus on the cross in the midst of a crowd in the shadows. And then the second vision is the same image with the Jesus on the cross with the people facing Blessed Mother, but now Blessed Mother Teresa, but Mother Teresa was a 12-year-old kneeling right beside the Blessed Mother. And these people in this darkness have their hands out to Blessed Mother and Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa overhears Blessed Mother tell her, "These are my children. Bring my son to them. Teach them the rosary, the family rosary, and everything will be well."
That was
the second vision. And then the third vision is, again, Jesus on the cross, people in shrouded in darkness. And she understood the darkness and the people. And the poverty was not only the people of the region she was serving, but also the spiritual poverty as well. Blessed Mother, again, she's right next to her. And
wow.
Jesus cries out from the cross, "I have asked you. My mother has asked you. My children have asked you. Wilt thou refuse?"
Wow.
This task of bringing Jesus to the people is such an essential role for all of us. And it's part of this, what Blessed Mother does when she goes to visit her cousin, bringing the light, the joy of Christ to others.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Father Paul. That's a beautiful reflection. And again, make it out to Mass, St. George Catholic Church. You can see Father Paul there. Thank you, Father.
Good morning. It is 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibodeau with Johnny Hebert straight from Bush, Louisiana, and Gabby Smith. We're so happy you're with us on this Wednesday morning. David Aguillard, Executive Director with Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, joins us this morning live and in person. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank
you. We're so happy to have you with us. Yeah. You all are so busy. Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge are just movers and shakers. You've been busy doing wonderful things. And let's start with, I know that in the minds of Catholics, for sure, but the potential of the reversal of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
And this, you and I were talking about the what's next. It's wonderful.
Right.
That, right.
Right.
But what's next in Catholic Charities has already got a plan.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking about that. I was struck by one of the previous interviews this morning who mentioned that 64% of abortions in this country are coerced. Catholics in our diocese might not fully realize this, but we have a very robust pregnancy and motherhood support program that offers housing. It's the only one of its kind in the state of Louisiana that if we have an empty bed and if you're willing to live by our rules, we've got a place for you. We will bring you to medical appointments. We will help you get a job. We will help you get housing. And if we don't have room, we will help support a woman with her utility bills or her rent or maybe secure formula, safety seats, diapers, because all of that is an expense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Catholics are frequently challenged. So what are you doing for pregnant women? Doesn't the respect for life also extend to the child after the child is born? Well, It does. And Catholics say, you know, our first principle of social teaching is the dignity of the human person.
Yes.
And so the Diocese of Baton Rouge has a very active pregnancy support and childhood support program. And we are ready to continue that. We are ready to grow that. And it actually saves the lives of both mothers and children, because you know, we see women who come to us and, you know, their boyfriends, their husbands, their families have kicked them out and said, you get an abortion or you don't come back here. And they come to us because they know they have a compassionate place to turn.
Wow. Sanctuary for Life. How many women can you house?
Well, we can house, and this is something else that we should be, I don't want to say proud of in the sense of aren't we wonderful, but mm-hmm. just in a sense of our commitment. Several years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we could house two. Now we can house about 20.
Oh, wow.
We've grown that ministry, and we can also accept women. We used to, after birth, we used to like move them out and move the next mm-hmm. pregnant person
right,
in
yes,
because
yes.
we have a waiting list. But now we can actually take women back who might need a little bit of extra care and support right after birth.
Wow. And this, and meals and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It is full. We have transportation. We help them get jobs. And while they're there, they are preparing for childbirth. They're preparing for parenthood. And over 90% of the women who leave this program, they get a job. They're able to establish their own household.
Wow.
Their babies are delivered healthy and on term. So it is a successful program with that, like I said, it helps preserve the life of the unborn as well as frequently preserves the life of the mother as well, who thinks that there's nothing, no place to turn,
right.
nobody who cares.
Right. And this is just not just for Catholic women.
Oh correct, correct.
Okay.
All of our services at Catholic Charities are based on need, not based on religious affiliation.
Okay. And do women, are they referred to you by their OB, or how do they find out about Sanctuary?
Yes, they come to us through all kinds of ways.
Okay.
Frequently they're referred to us by their physician or other programs or the 211 referral line for the whole Diocese of Louisiana, Diocese of Baton Rouge.
Okay. Okay. And so this is the only one of its kind in the state. So do you have women that come from all over the state, or is it mostly in our diocese?
It's mostly in our diocese. You know, there's the need right here.
Yes, absolutely.
And so,
wow. And so if listeners would like to support this program or other programs that Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge have, how could they do that?
Yeah, CatholicCharitiesBR.org. You can select the program from a drop-down menu where you would like to see your donations go.
Okay. Now, David, do you see that after the hopeful reversal of Roe versus Wade, that you will need to expand your services there, or do you?
Well, we anticipate that both that program as well as our adoption program, we'll see an uptick in need, and we want to be prepared for that.
That's wonderful. So talk a little bit about your adoption services.
Well, we are the only agency in this area that is accredited by Hague. It's an international certification agency. We're the only Catholic-sponsored adoption program agency in this area. The only other one that I'm aware of is in New Orleans. So because we're Hague accredited, we have a higher level of financial scrutiny, policies and procedures that we have to adhere to in order to achieve that Hague accreditation.
Okay, wonderful. Well, doing wonderful things for mothers and babies in our community. We're shifting because we're almost to June 1st, and we all in South Louisiana, Mississippi, we all know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Into Florida. It's hurricane season, right?
Yeah, it is, and there's something brewing already down in the Gulf,
I
understand.
Saw that. I'm trying to look away for now. So tell us about the hurricane mouse.
Well, there's a couple of things here. One, we always gather on, we haven't for the past 2 years because of COVID, but we'll be starting again the June 1st prayer for safety at the Hurricane Mass at the Cathedral on June 1st. This year, the strength and scope and span of storms over the past several years has just grown larger and larger. We used to be able to put some hurricane relief supplies in the back of a pickup truck and serve a few parishes. Now, the Catholic Charities agencies across South Louisiana frequently pitch in to help one another. Mm-hmm. And so we have outgrown our pickup trucks and our trailers, and we now have a box truck with a lift gate. And we will be blessing it. We have it just in time. We just got it, I think, last week, and we'll be blessing it at the Mass as well.
I love it. And that Mass is at noon at St. Joseph Cathedral in Baton Rouge. And then the blessing of the truck will happen after Mass?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure yet if it's going to be before or after Mass. Probably before, because I think a lot of people come to the noon Mass and then get back to work. But, you know, people can also, you know, part of being prepared for the hurricane season is not only prayer, but it is preparation yourself.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we encourage people to make a communications plan, a family plan, make sure they have extra, you know, those portable batteries to charge their cell phones, get your prescription lists, make sure you have a recent bill, your insurance policies, have all that stuff ready to grab and go should you have to evacuate.
Yes, that's important. I wish we had more time to visit with you, David. Tell our listeners where they can find out more. You have so many wonderful things. You're helping with refugees, and we'll have to have you come back to talk about that. But where could they go?
Sure. CatholicCharitiesBR.org is our website. We have been getting lots of questions about Ukrainians lately. Mm-hmm. We are not resettling Ukrainians. You can do that directly with the federal government at DHS.gov/Ukraine.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Make sure you check them out at CatholicCharitiesBR.org for more information. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia.
Stay dry today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Wow, y'all, our hour went by so quickly.
I know. Holy Spirit is blowing and moving. Man,
right.
I tell you what.
That's right.
Well, let's close out with a prayer from remembering St. Bede the Venerable, his prayer. And we do pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God Almighty, open wide the door of our hearts this day. Illumine them with the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may seek what is pleasing to your will. Guide our thoughts and our hearts and all we do today, and lead our lives in the ways of your commandments, that we may always seek to fulfill them, and that we may even now begin to grasp the eternal joys of the heavenly life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time talking events. Louisiana Rights of Life joins us. David Dawson Jr. from the Diocese of Pomatipto will talk marriage and family life. And Sister Marjorie Abear with the Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic Charities has her monthly update. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.